Let's go. So, today hopefully we'll finish chapter 23, Chaf Gimel. Ah, sorry, grab one over there. Yeah, give me, I'll show you where we are, we're up to. The Lord over there. Okay. So, what the Alter Rebbe has been building up is the amazing connection one has when we do Torah and mitzvahs. Right? Mitzvahs, when we do mitzvahs, we're becoming. So it's all got to do with what the Chitzon Yisratzen and Pnim Yisratzen and Acharayim Yisratzen, right? The three levels of will, the internal real will, the external will, and then the. Is it Tanya there if you want? Oh, you got it. And the backhanded will, we just give something because it's klipa, right? And so on and so forth. When a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself is the real ratzon of Hashem, therefore the limb that does it is the ratzon of Hashem. The power to do it is connected with the ratzon of Hashem. The guf, the body organ that gives the tzedakah or gives does the mitzvah is becoming connected with the ratzon of Hashem. But that's all the mitzvahs, that's all like a merkava, or like a body to a soul that is completely surrender and extension of the soul. But then he continued on that with Torah, it's even more than that. With Torah, because we're using the power of Machshava and Torah, we're actually connecting, not just doing the Ratzon Hashem, but we are absorbing, internalizing the Ratzon Hashem, because we're internalizing the understanding and the wisdom and so on and so forth, right? So we'll see the punchline a bit, the pre-punchline at the end of today's chapter. Punchline is in 25. But, okay. Now he says he's going to take it even deeper. The study of Torah, right? At the end of this parak, if you're not motivated to learn Torah, then I don't know what's going to motivate us, right? This is it. Says like this. Loyoit, not only this. Second. Okay. Now what he says, Ella, Shiyachudom, the oneness, right? The oneness that we have with the Torah, with Hashem, where we learn Torah. Who be yeser se'es, the yeser oz. It's even more and stronger. Mi yichud oren sav baruchu ba'olam asalyani. It's stronger than the oneness of Hashem with the worlds, the supernal worlds. What do we mean? We know like this, right? Just let's go back a minute. Today we're going to cover a couple of fundamental concepts of Chassidus in general to understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying. So you know that the first world, when we talk about the evolution of worlds, the first world is the world of Atzilus, right? We've talked about this before. The world of Atzilus is Hashem's world, which means it's Hashem. The world of Atzilus is a very interesting thing because on the one hand it's called a world because Hashem transcends the world of Atzilus. Hashem is undefined. The world of Atzilus is really a level which is governed by the 10 spheres, right? With the 10 powers, Chochma, Bina, Das, and so on. Hashem in his essence transcends the world. Atzilus is already an expression of quite a strong limitation. Number one, there's only 10 spheres and not more. There is a level higher than Seder Ishtalshlus, Chassidus explains, where there's what we call spheres Ein Kates. There's an unlimited amount of spheres, infinite amount of spheres, more in line with the Ein Sof, right? Ein Sof being an infinite light of Hashem, can give birth, can give expression to infinite spheres. Atzilus is already in the world of Gvul, it's the world of limitation, it's the world of 10 and not 11, 11 and not 12, and not 9, and not 10, right? Sorry, 10 and not 9, 10 not 11, right? As the expression goes. It's a specific number, so it's already Gvul. Besides that, each one of the spheres is already the idea of Gvul because it's a defined thing. It might be the Chochma of Atzilus might be infinite Chochma, but it's still Chochma not Bina. Still Chochma not Chesed, right? I'm just bringing a couple of examples to show you that the world of Atzilus is called a world for that reason. Because it's already a world, meaning it's governed by it's a manifestation of finiteness, right? Yet it's called Atzilus. What does the word Atzilus mean? Right, this, I mean, it's we need to know this to understand what it says in time, but actually it's just very important general knowledge of Chassidus in general, right? Chassidus addresses Chassidus a lot, so I say about the Alter Rebbe, you know, the Alter Rebbe in certain Mamorim, the Alter Rebbe used to go into, the Alter Rebbe was known that he would experience tremendous ecstasy and tremendous dveikus with Hashem. A certain Mamorim that the Alter Rebbe wrote, notwithstanding what I just said about Chassidus, that's the finiteness, but nevertheless, it's Hashem's world. There are Mamorim that the Alter Rebbe wrote when he would write Chassidus, that he came to writing the word Chassidus, he couldn't even finish the word. It's only Aleph Tzadik Yud. He couldn't finish the word Chassidus, because when he wrote Chassidus, he became like, I don't know what he became, I never experienced this, I can't tell you, but yeah, the Dveikus, the awe, the Yira, whatever it was, right? Alter Rebbe has a lot of stories like that, like for example with Rosh Hashanah, when we say in Davening Rosh Hashanah, we say one of the famous paragraphs in Amidah Rosh Hashanah, we say, V'sein tein pachtecha, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, you should give your awe, your fear, a kol ma'asecha, on all the things that exist, right? That's what we say in Davening. We should merit, the world should have Yiras Hashem, essentially. We should have the fear of Hashem, the awe of Hashem, and so on. So the Alter Rebbe, when he would daven, he would say the same thing, pach, and he couldn't end the word. Pach, he would say pach a few times, couldn't end the word pachtecha. Just like he experienced it, didn't say it. We say it, he experienced it. Right? Okay. So what am I saying there? Because the word Atzilus means eight silver sovach, means it's near, it's close to Hashem. Very often in Chassidus, Atzilus is called Gilui HaHelem. It's a revelation that was potentially there before, because we say, just like Hashem has the power of infinity, he also has the power of being finite. As the famous Mukubal Avodas HaKodesh, we've mentioned it many times, says that if you say Hashem only possesses the power of infinity, but doesn't possess the power of being finite, you just made him finite. In other words, he's defined in a certain way. He can only be infinite, right? So Hashem could choose to manifest himself in 10 defined expressions, manifestations, which is the world of Atzilus. But the world of Atzilus really is still an expression of Hashem. There's nothing about Atzilus that is an other, right? That's what I'm saying? The concept of an other, even though it's a very bottled other, but the concept of an other starts with Bria, the world of Bria. That's what's called Bria. Bria means, right, we have Atzilus, and we have Bria Yetzir Asir. Atzilus is very different from Bria Yetzir Asir, because Bria is the world of creation. It's the world already where there's an existence. Now, in Bria, it's such a high world that it's completely, the creations of Bria feel themselves completely dependent on Hashem. They don't feel that independence, they feel bottle, all good. But it's still an existence, right? Atzilus isn't an existence. Atzilus, at the end of the day, is an expression of Hashem. That's why. It's something new. In fact, Chassidus explains a lot the concept of Yesh Ma'ayin, right? Something from nothing, which we normally use that expression when we talk about the physical creation. But it is used for different things. And there's a pasuk that says, V'hachochma ma'ayin timotze. Chochma comes from ayin, right? And Chassidus says, and that chochma is referring to chochma of Atzilus. Yeah? Because on the one hand, it's a manifestation of Hashem's ability to be fine. On the other hand, chochma of Atzilus compared to what's higher than Atzilus is a huge gap. Something new. So on one hand, Atzilus is a new concept. On the other hand, it's an expression of Hashem. That's why, when it comes to Atzilus, we say that Iyu v'chayeyu chad, Iyu v'garmeyu chad, famous expression in Atzilus, which means, because Atzilus has what we call oir and keli, light and vessels. Not now to go into the whole difference between oir and keli, but in the Zohar it says that Hashem and his oir, Hashem and his light is one, and Hashem and his kelim are one. Meaning that although you have the light of Chochmah and Atzilus, for example, the light of Bina, the light of Das, Chesed, Gvura, and so on, Hashem is completely one with it. So there's a yichud. There's a oneness, a bond between the existence of Atzilus and Hashem himself, so to speak, right? And you can't sort of separate it. You can't say always, because it's a manifestation of Hashem. So therefore there's this, Atzilus is a new thing, Chochmah ma'ayin tematze. Chochmah is Yesh Ma'ayin, it's Chesed, all of a sudden there's a finite definition, yet its oneness with Hashem is inseparable. Yeah? So far good? Why did I bring this all in? Because he says that when you learn Torah, that oneness is greater than the oneness that Hashem has with Atzilus. Incredible, right? Why? Why is it? Why is it like that? Because he says, Ma'achar, Sherotzen Ho'elyein, because the Rotzen Ho'elyein, the supernal will of Hashem, who begilui mamish, it's really revealed, benefesh in the neshama, ulu v'sheo, and the garments of the neshama, the thought, the speech, etc., ha'oiskim ba'Torah, which are learning Torah. Why is Hashem's Rotzen completely revealed in the neshama that's learning Torah? Because sharehu ha'Torah atzma. When a person learns Torah, the Rotzen of Hashem is revealed in his neshama. What is Torah? Torah is the Rotzen Hashem. You learn Torah, you learn this week's parasha, you learn that the Rotzen of Hashem is to have garments for the Kohanim. So what have you just absorbed? You've absorbed the will of Hashem himself. Not just the will of Hashem, the pnimius Rotzen, the ultimate will of Hashem. Because as we said, the mitzvahs is the purpose, right? So why is that more than the oneness of Atzilus? He says, because all the supernal worlds, including Atzilus, they get their life from the Torah. Hanimshach mehatorah, which comes from Torah, she returned to Chachamasi's Baruch, which is the will and the wisdom of Hashem. In other words, Torah is the Ratzon of Hashem. The world, at any level, even the supernal world, even Atzilus, is coming from the Ratzon of Hashem. Right? Because it's not the Ratzon itself. In other words, like this. In the very first Rashi, in Chumash, when he says, Bereshis, I'm not talking about the Rashi, but there is a source. I'm talking about the next piece, right? He says, what does the word Bereshis mean? He says, Beis Reshis. Beis Reshis. So Bereshis means in the beginning, but it's a little bit of a complicated word grammatically. It's a whole Rashi there explaining why it's complicated and how you have to explain it. One way to explain it is, Bereshis actually should be broken up into two words. Beis Reshis. The world was created for two things that are called Reshis. There are two things that are called the beginning. The first, what are the two things? Torah and Yidden. Right? Yeah? Because the truth is, other places, it says that the Neshama is also straight from the Ratzon of Hashem. The Neshama doesn't exist to achieve something else. The Neshama is the Tachlis. Okay, to do Dirav Tachtoinim, to bring Torah into the world, so on, but it's part of the Ratzon Hashem, right? Okay, you need the Torah to reveal that. That's another whole other discussion. But the Torah and the Neshama, but let's talk about Torah now. Torah is the Ratzon of Hashem. So Hashem created a world aligned with that Ratzon, right? That's why we have famous Zohar that says that Istakel bo'iraisa baram. Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world. Torah is the blueprint of the world, right? Yeah. We say world, we mean all the worlds, even Atzilus. Now, obviously, the world must come from Torah because there can't be anything in the world. If you think about it, it's a very simple idea, right? Why does the world have to come from Torah? Why is Torah the blueprint of the world? Why is everything in the world sourced in Torah? And it's very simple. Because the tachlis, the rotzen of Hashem, is Torah mitzvahs. The neshama doing Torah mitzvahs, right? So nothing in the world can be outside of that reality. There's nothing in the world that exists stum. Yeah? That's why we know, for example, even in Allah it works like that, right? We say that every new technology, every new thing that happens in the world, we have to go back and find where it is in Torah. What does Torah respond to it? Why? Because there can't be anything in the world that Torah doesn't have a response. That Torah doesn't guide, that Torah doesn't inspire. There can't be anything in our lives that Torah doesn't inspire.
Even evil, very bad things.
Well, we learn bad things exist because of we should have free choice. We learned that in the previous chapter. Yes, it's also part of Torah. Because Torah says we have to have free choice. So b'charta b'chaim. So in order for us to have b'chira, Hashem, certain things, He created an entity of evil which has very, very limited dose, as we learned before, of godly energy. And explained it in two ways. Explained, first of all, it's not even internalized, it doesn't interact, it's more from the distance. And even the little bit that does interact is in Govus. It's like exile, it's trapped there. what Hashem created. It's not, that's not the Ratzon of Hashem, but it's the Achuraim, that's the backhanded Ratzon of Hashem, as explained, because Hashem wants evil to exist, so we should overcome it because we need to have free choice. So in order to live according to Torah, we have to have a struggle. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a dwelling place for Hashem down here below. Otherwise, there's no below anymore, right? But by going back to this idea, so yes, even the supernal world, even Atzilus, which is so godly and so one with God, but it's created from the blueprint because it's created for Torah, but it's still not the Torah itself. It's created for Torah at the highest level. It's one with Torah, it's one with Hashem, it's good. But it's still a world which is created for Torah. Yeah? And therefore gets us life from Torah. A Yid that learns Torah is one with the Torah. He is the Torah. Right? It's there. Yeah? That's what he says. The Cholo Olam Esal Yonim, all the supernal worlds, Mekablim Chayusom, they get their life, Me'or V'chayes, from the light and the energy, HaNimshach Me'hatorah, that comes from the Torah. Shehu Ritzoyne V'chachmasa Yisbarech, which is the Rotzen and the wisdom of Hashem. Kedichsiv, as it says, we say it every day in Davening, it's Pasuk in Tehillim. Kulam B'chachma Asisa. Various interpretation of this Pasuk, but the Pasuk, he's interpreting it simply. Hashem says you made everything with wisdom. It doesn't mean Hashem made everything because he was clever. It means you made everything with Chachma, the Chachma of Torah, your wisdom. Right? Therefore, the Chachma, which is the Torah itself, L'mayla Mikulam, is higher than all the worlds, even Atzilus. Because everything was made with the Chachma, meaning the Chachma is higher than everything that was made. Yeah? Part one. Then he continues even deeper than that. He says, what does that mean? What does it mean it's higher than all the worlds? So we said before that the Chochmah is the Rotzen of Hashem, it's the will of Hashem, right? I mean, it's the wisdom of Hashem, it's also the will of Hashem, the mitzvahs, right? So he says, what that means is that the Chochmah transcends the world. Now, in order to understand this, another fundamental idea, Chassidus is going to bring in this idea of Memalei Kol Almin and Soivev Kol Almin, right? Chassidus, there's this concept called Hashem fills the worlds and Hashem surrounds the worlds, right? Now, it's one of the most misunderstood ideas because when we talk about surround, we have this imagery that it's like somewhere else, right? But it's not like that. Now, let me just stop here and explain properly because, again, it's a very fundamental concept in Chassidus in general. So, let's just explain what the words makif and pnimi mean. So the way to understand it is to look at ourselves. Right? Within ourselves, within our own experience, we have what's called mamala kalaman and sova kalaman also, similar idea, which means, to use different terminology, we have powers of our soul that are pnimi, that interact in an internal way. And then we have those that are what we call makif, they are transcendent, they surround. What does it mean surround? So I'll give you an idea, right? So we have, let's say we have the power of kindness, or the power to write, or the power to see, right? If I ask you the power to walk, if I ask you, where in your body do you feel the power to walk? Yes, I mean in your feet, yeah? Where do you feel the power to think? In your brain. Where do you feel the power to write? In your fingers, right? Why? Because these are all powers from the neshama that are, so to speak, diluted enough to be felt in a particular keli, in a particular organ, right? The more refined the keli, the more refined the power. So, for example, you can't think with your foot, because your foot isn't a keli for the power of thought, because the foot, we know, is a very coarse keli. It's the lowest, doesn't have any brain waves in it, right? It's the lowest part of the body. A brain is a much more, what we call edala keli, it's a much more refined keli. Very intricate, it's very, very delicate, it's much more spiritual, it's physical, but it's much more nuanced, much more sort of delicate, and therefore the brain is a power to think, it's a power to have to be able to take the power of Chochmah, right? In other words, we have lots of powers, the ten powers, the power of sight, the power of hearing, the power of walking, the power of writing, all these things, Koyachat, the power of drawing, all these things we have, these are all powers of the human experience, which apnimi, which means they are mislabish, they're enclosed, they come into the body and express themselves through a particular part of the body, right? And therefore there are different levels. You cannot compare the power of walking in the foot to the power of thinking in the brain. They're very, very different. One's a much, much higher power than the other one. Power of thinking is much higher than the power of walking, and therefore it's mislabish, it encloses itself, it interacts with a much higher recipient, a much higher keli, a much higher vessel. Correct? And expresses itself through the vessel. If you don't have a proper vessel, you can't, the person's eye is not good, you can't see. If your legs aren't right. It doesn't mean that the power isn't there. Every person is born with all powers, you know that, right? What's the proof of that? Chassidus brings the proof that a blind person can have a child that sees. Why? Because a blind person has the power of sight. Doesn't have the keli to express it. Correct? Okay. So that's how those keli work. They interact with the body, they express self through a certain keli, they become one with that keli, and they express themselves exclusively through that keli. Right? That's a moshel for the light of Hashem called Memalei Kolam. When Hashem created the world, there's different worlds. And Hashem sent, He diluted, so to speak, His infinite light so that it should enclose itself in the world to keep it alive, right? But it's through an amazing level of Tzimtzum. And depending on the level of the world, or in the world itself, depending on the level of the thing that it is in that world, will depend on how much the level of power of the light of Hashem that expresses itself through that keli, right? In Atzilus it's very, very high. In Bria it's lower. In Yetzirah it's even lower. In Asi it's even lower. Within the world itself, a stone, the stone which doesn't move, you don't even see, forget about godliness, you don't see any movement, you don't see any life in a stone, right? Even though for sure there's life in a stone, we learn this in Tanya later. Everything has a spark of Hashem keeping it alive. But obviously, where there's much less life, it's like the foot of the, it's like a foot. It's much less, it's more diluted chayis. The divine expression, the divine level of chayis that it's been getting is much lower. Yeah? In Tzomeach, in something that grows, you can really see some movement, it's higher. Animal is higher, human being is even higher. Right? So that's Memalei Kolam. But all Memalei Kolam means, but even at the highest level, it means it's a Gilu, it's a revelation of Hashem that's able to express itself through a keli. Yeah? So it's already something lower, even at the highest level. So let's go back to our human experience. We have things that are too high to come into a body. Too high to express itself through a keli. What's an example of that? So that one of the examples, typical examples, is Rotzen. The will, right? If you want something, where do you want it? Where? Can you say? If I ask you where you think, you can tell me your brain. If I ask you your eyes, you can tell me your hands. I want very something very, very strongly. Where in your body do you want it? Don't know. Why? Because Rasa doesn't work like that. The level of desire, it's a koyach makif. It's a transcendent koyach. Because it's transcendent, it's actually more powerful than anything in the body. Yeah, but instinct often is the Ratzel of the Nefesh HaBamis, not the Nefesh HaLukis. Human instinct, right? So, it's also Makif. It also has Makif. I mean, you know, just to... So, you know, we have five levels in the Shama. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida, right? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama is where the Pnimi, the internal Koichas, reside. Chai is the Ratzel. Chai is really the Makif of the Neshama. That's where Ratzel is. And Nefesh HaBamis also has Chai. It doesn't have Yechida. But has chaya. So yeah, you can have very strong. That's why you have sometimes irrational, unstoppable, ritzoinous desires that come to nefesh ha'bamis. Doesn't mean it's good, it just means it's makif. Okay? But now we're describing what rotzen is. In other words...
How tough does that make our job to subdue it? How tough does that make our job to subdue it?
That's why you need to connect to the yechida, ultimately. Yechidah doesn't have competition. If you connect to the Yechidah, that's where Mesiras Nefesh comes from. So when everything else fails, that's when Chanukah says that the shemen, the oil, is like makif, because it doesn't mix with water. And yet they were able to make the shemen tomeh, But you have to go to even a deeper makif, which is the yechidah. That's the one jug of oil that couldn't be touched. Anyway, that's just that's not halakhic shiur. But I'm saying, but that's yeah. Okay, so right. So what does it mean? So we say, so where is Ratzon? The truth is, Ratzon is everywhere. That's what Chassidus says. A person wants to move their foot, they move it. So that Ratzon is expressed in the foot. A person wants to do something, he does it. But it's not expressed anywhere, really. It's everywhere, but nowhere. In other words, makif means it's there, but you can't feel it. Doesn't mean it's not there. Of course it's there. So it's not somewhere else, it's there, right? But it's there without being interactively expressed, if that makes sense, right? That's why sometimes you can feel it very strongly and not feel it at the same time. I'll give you an analogy. If you go to like an unbelievable speaker, right? Sometimes a person goes to speak, there's a speaker in town, he gives an amazing, amazing speech, just blew everyone away. Like, amazing, right? Someone was there, comes out, he says, oh, wow, unbelievable. You say to him, what did he say? I haven't got a clue. Because he didn't understand it. It was earth-shattering, but it was makif, not panimi. It's there, but not there. Powerfully there, but not there at all. You know what I'm saying? So Ratzon is the strongest power we have. Okay, it's Tainug, which is even stronger. Okay, but let's talk about Ratzon now, yeah? Ratzon and Tainug are the two makif koiches. They interact a bit. But so Ratzon is very... The desire of a person is a transcendent power. Yeah? So now let's go back to what we said before. Atzilus has a oneness with Hashem, even the world of Atzilus. But it comes from Chochmah. Ultimately, the life force of Atzilus is Mamalek Olam, at the very highest level, but it's Mamalek Olam. But he says we learn Torah, it's even higher. Why? Let's go further now. It's because you're connecting to the source, even the source of Atzilus. What is that? The he Ritzoyna Yisbarech, that's the Ratzon of Hashem. Hanikra Soyvev Kol Almi. It's called encompassing the worlds, transcendent, transcends the worlds, which is like Ratzon, because that's the Ratzon of Hashem. She Bechinas Masha'en Yachal Yislabish Bekol Almi. It's a level that cannot interact with the world. Rak Mechaye Umeir Lemailo Bechinas Makif. But it's able to give life. It's not that it doesn't give life, it gives life to the world. But from a distance. B'chinas makiv in an all-encompassing, in a transcendent way. Yeah? And he says, Ve'hi amislabeshes b'nefesh ulevosheh, and that's what comes into the neshama. And the garments of the neshama. B'chinas gilui mamish, in a revealed way, k'sha'oiskim b'divrei Torah, when you learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you're internalizing not just the oneness with Hashem, you're internalizing and becoming one with Soviv Kalamin, that level which transcends all the worlds, even the world of Atzilus. Why? Because the Torah is the revelation of the Ratzon of Hashem, and because when you learn Torah, like it says in the beginning of Tanya, you're understanding it and grasping it. That's the gift of Torah, that Hashem put himself into the Torah, he's put his Ratzon into the Torah. Put his essence into the Torah, right? That's what the Gemara says about the word Anoichi, the first word of the Aseres Libres. Anoichi means Ano Nafshi Ksavis Yehovis. That's an acronym. Hashem says, I wrote my nefesh, I wrote my whole rot, I inscribed myself into the Torah. That's that the gift of Torah, right? That's the idea. That's why the Zohar says Torah and Hashem is one. Because the Torah is the Ratzon of Hashem. That's what it is. Hashem put himself into the Torah. And therefore, when we're learning that, we're becoming one with that. So with all the other worlds, that level of Soivev Kol Almin is makif. It has a connection to the worlds, but it's makif. It's from a distance, from far, from transcendence. You learn Torah, that level becomes one with you. And that's why it's the greatest level of oneness that can be. And then he says the words, he says, okay, so that's interesting. But how come then, we should then, if that's true, when we learn Torah, we should just disintegrate. we should just disappear into the oneness of Hashem. So he says, no. Afagav the iule chazi v'chul. Hashem made it in such a way that it's true, but you don't feel it. By intention, by design. You're not able to feel it. Right? Why? Because it's a oneness that the neshama is having with Hashem, And we don't get to feel all the levels of the neshama in a conscious way, which is by design. Right? And he uses the lashon, uses the expression of afagav de iu loy chazi. Even though you didn't see you see it, but your neshama sees it. Your neshama feels it. That's taken from Chazal, from the Gemara that talks about the whole story in Tanakh. My Tanakh is not great, so I forgot exactly how the story goes. It was something to do with Daniel. That there was writing on the wall and everyone started to tremble. Right? Daniel saw, but they didn't see it. Everyone was trembling. Says the Gemara, if they didn't see it, why were they trembling? Gemara says, Afagav yule chazi mazlai chazi. Because even though they didn't see it, but their mazel saw it. Mazel refers to the essence of the neshama, the makif of the neshama, right? And that had an effect on them. They started to tremble, even though they didn't know what they were trembling about. A similar concept we have with tshuva, right? So the Gemara, the Pirkei Avos and the Gemara, in fact, the Pirkei Avos, it says every day there's a bas kol, there's a heavenly voice that goes out, right? And tells us to learn Torah, tells us to do tshuva. Different heavenly voices come out every day. When was the last time you heard the heavenly voice? There were great tzaddikim in the time of the Gemara, right? That could hear the heavenly voices. But I don't know. I haven't heard the heavenly voice to date. So what's the point of it then? Why does it go out if I can't hear it, right? The answer is because my neshama hears it. And sometimes, and that explains, sometimes we get a trigger, a positive trigger, to do tshuva, to learn Torah. Where's it coming from? It's because the neshama heard the heavenly voice. And it activates something in our body as well. But our body doesn't actually feel it. But the neshama sees it, right? And then he says, "Mishum achi yachalispo, mishum delechazi," and that's why you're able to tolerate it, because you don't see it. Mashayin kem b'olyonim, different to the world of Atzilus. See here, we have a guf. Yidden over here, down here in this world, we are a combination of two opposite things. We have a body which is very much part of this world, created from the dust of the earth, right? And then we have a neshama. And they're two complete extreme opposites. The body is a very low level of physicality, which is designed that way, and therefore we're not a keli to feel and to be one with great and revealed things. That's what happens in this world. Hashem is hidden from everything. But we have the neshama, which is really a chelek l'kami ma'amamish, especially the essence of the neshama. Therefore we learn Torah, the neshama is one with the Torah, right? And it has an effect on the body, but in this world we won't disintegrate because we can become one with Sovev of Kol Almin and yet not disappear, yet still be alive, because the body protects that sort of feeling and consciousness, and therefore we don't disappear, we don't disintegrate. But if it were to happen in the world of Atzilus, the world of Atzilus or the world of Bria is a world of revelation, and therefore they would be revealed and it would cease to exist. Okay, that's what he says. Good. Then he says, "Ubaze yuvom." This we can understand. Lomo God, lomo oin, myla so esek ba Torah yosim kol mitzvus. Now we can understand why learning Torah is even greater than doing mitzvahs. See, when you do a mitzvah, you're also connecting to the Ratzon of Hashem, but it's different. You're not internalizing it, right? Because with learning, when you do a mitzvah, you're doing it with the power of action. So you're not. When you understand something, you're almost becoming part of you. That's why Torah, in the beginning of Tanya, says that's why Torah is called food and mitzvahs are called garments, right? Now, mitzvahs are very important and have something that Torah doesn't have. You make a dira b'tachtoni with mitzvahs, right? Because Torah is different. Torah is the ruchnias. You're not changing the table when you learn Torah. You're changing you. You're one with Hashem. And it's greater. It's a greater yichud. It's a greater oneness than mitzvahs. But a mitzvah is important because a mitzvah is how you bring Hashem into the world. You don't take a piece of parchment and make it holy, or a candle and make it holy, if you don't do a mitzvah with it, right? So that's what mitzvah. Okay. But here he's talking about the oneness with Hashem that we experience. He says, that's why we know that the greatness of learning Torah is more than all the mitzvahs. They are filu mitzvah even more than davening. Shu yichud oyle b'salyonim. Right? Which is the oneness. When you learn, when you daven, it's more like the oneness that's experienced in the upper worlds, but Torah is higher than that, as we just said. Yeah. Now he says, it's a side point, but I'll just explain it. We learn in the Gemara that someone like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was Torosai Umnosai, Torosai Umnosai means that he just learned Torah his entire life. His whole thing was Torah, right? So it says, someone who's terosev nase doesn't have to daven. Shimon Bar Yochai only daven once in 30 days. lot of people wish they could only daven once in 30 days, but we can't. We got daven every day, three times a day, right? Because Rav Shimon Bar-Yochai didn't have to. Why? So he says over here, I, just because we're not Terasayim Nasay, okay, we're not on the level of learning Torah like Shimon Bar-Yochai, so why do we have to stop and daven? Maybe it's just every time we have an urge to daven, maybe we should just learn instead. He says, no, because we people that stop learning anyway. We're not like we're learning the whole time. So therefore, we have to engage in davening, and davening is important, and other levels are important for people who are need that connection, and so on and so forth. But someone who was immersed in Torah, like Rav Shimon Bar-Yochai, could accomplish everything through Torah, and even greater, because the oneness was so amazing. Okay. Good. Now, it says like this. Mizeh Yuchal, right? Because everything we just said, ובזה יוכל המשכיל להמשיך עולב יורה גדולה באוסקה בתורה. Now a person can understand, once we've explained the unbelievable greatness of learning Torah, any thinking person therefore should be able to then understand and appreciate that when you learn Torah, if you learn Torah properly, that is, you could draw upon yourself an amazing level of Yiras Hashem, or of Hashem. Right? Why? Because she is boine. When we reflect, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch it says that when we learn Torah, you're supposed to be respectful. With Yira Shemayim, right? The way it says in Shulchan Aruch is that Ma'al Lahalan, just when the Yidden stood in front of Har Sinai, they were be'emo, be'reses, or be'zia, they were in great awe and trembling and everything. So every time I learn Torah, it should be like that. Because every time I learn Torah, it's like Hasidah again. Why is that? Because she's boine in a shenafshei levushel. When a person can understand and reflect how his neshama and its garment should be moichir b'fiv in his brain and his mouth. Hey, miyuchodim mamash betachas ayuchu b'rotzen elyon. At this moment, I'm learning Torah. We're completely one with the rotzen of Hashem, like we just said before. Now, we might not feel it, but we can think about it. We can believe it. We can know. We can understand that it's there. Right? We can understand that the infinite light of Hashem is mamish, the infinite light of Hashem is being revealed in the nefesh of Lakis and all its garments. It's a level, like we said, it's a level of revelation of Hashem that all the worlds are considered nothing compared to that revelation of Hashem. Which is why, like we said before, that level Hashem doesn't interact, doesn't come into any of the worlds, even Atzilus. Only transcends it and encompasses it, b'chinas makif, to give it its main lifestyle. Right? Only a spark of that level will go into the worlds. That's the concept of a malak alamim. Only a little bit they can tolerate, right? That they shouldn't cease to exist. But when you learn Torah, it's not just a spark. When you learn Torah, the real Oren Sof is one with your neshama. So it should bring you, if you think about it, should bring you to an unbelievable level of Yira. Now, what does it mean by Yira? So let me just explain some of what he's going to explain now. It's important to understand, right? In Chassidus, it says, in Tanya, it brings other places, that there are two levels of, you know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah called Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. And Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, right? There's two levels of love and two levels of Yira. Yeah? The way it works is like this. Yira really, what Yira means, love means the feeling of love. You feel love towards Hashem. Yira, fear, doesn't always mean fear necessarily. Hashem is not to be scared, that's not the idea. Yira is a feeling of bittul, surrender, submission, oneness, right? Lack of feeling independent. You feel that you don't have independence. You're just completely one of Hashem. You're an extension of Hashem. So, in the name, in the level of Yutke Vovke, right? The four letters of Hashem's name correspond to these two levels of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. So it goes backwards. The Hey at the end, which is the lowest level, is the basic level of Yiras Hashem. I'll explain to you what it is. The Vav and the first Hey is the two levels of love of Hashem, and the Yud, which is the highest level of Hashem, is the idea of of the highest level of Europe. Let me explain. So, the way it works like this, right? In fact, we had in Bereshis the Prasha of Toldos, right? We say that Avram Avinu is Ava, and Yitzchok is Yira, right? Chesed and Gevurah, yeah? So we say in the Pasuk of Eile Toldos, these are the generations of Yitzchok ben Avram. Avram, Hoylidus Yitzchok, right? This is the children of Yitzchok, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchok. So the order in the Pasuk is Yitzchok, Avram, Avram, Yitzchok. Why? The first level of a person serving Hashem is Yira. It's called Yira Tato, the lowest level of Yira, which is basically another word for saying Kabbalah. So it's a person that doesn't feel particularly bottled to Hashem. We feel ourselves quite separate to Hashem, actually. And that's why we might resist. We might have a temptation not to serve Hashem, not to learn Torah, not to do mitzvahs. But we say, no, we understand Hashem's boss. We do it, and that's it. Right? We understand Hashem's a reality. We're going to daven, we're going to learn, we're going to do a mitzvah, we're going to keep halacha. We like it, we don't like it, that's what we're doing. Right? That's the, Chassidus says many places, that's the foundation of serving Hashem. You can't start with love, you've got to start with obedience. Right? However, obedience is not enough, you have to develop love also, right? So therefore, love means more, it's more who you are. Yira Tato, the lowest level of Yira means you're not really, it's not really you. Okay, Chassidus says it represents a certain very, the fact that you broke yourself is amazing, but it's not you. In other words, you actually are, would rather do something else, but you, right? Then when you develop a love of Hashem, I'm not going to go into now the two levels of love, the Avazuta, Avarabba, that means now you're becoming, you want to serve Hashem, not just forcing yourself, not just because you bottled Hashem, but because it's really you, right? And then you get to Yira Ilo, the highest level of Yira. What is that? Because even after you think that love is the highest level, love means I love Hashem, it's unbelievable. Which means I'm not going to rebel against, I'm not going to do anything. I want to serve, on the contrary. I want to learn Torah, I want to do mitzvahs because I absolutely love Hashem. What's the problem with love? Love, at the end of the day, is a selfish emotion. I love, it's called Yesh Misha Oyev. To love, there has to be someone that loves. Which means even at the highest level of love Hashem, where you wouldn't do anything else but serve Hashem because you love Him so much, it's still you that loves Hashem. It means you and Hashem are separate. So what's the highest level? Which most of us don't reach, I mean, in a conscious way. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Yira, is the highest level is Yira Elo, the highest level of Yira. What's the highest level of Yira? Complete bittul, oneness with Hashem. Right? Because I'm just...
Which is sacrificing yourself.
Yeah, I don't know if that's got to do with the Akedah, but yeah, but could be. It's the higher level of Yitzchak.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, could be, that's the same idea.
In your
told us. Yeah, could be. I mean, I haven't seen it written like that to connect to the Akedah, but it makes sense, right? So, in other words, it's not that I feel separate, I have to force myself. It's not that I don't have to force myself because I love Hashem. I don't exist altogether, I'm part of Hashem's reality. We know this from the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reaches level, because that's why he said about himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's the complete bittul. That's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said about himself, especially at the end of his life when he completes such an unbelievable oneness with Hashem. He said, "Anosi mono ba'alma." I'm just a code word for Hashem. That's what I am. I'm not something separate altogether. It's not that I love Hashem. I'm nothing. I am Hashem. I'm God. Like some people think they're God. I'm saying I'm a manifestation of God. That's what I am. Right. He says over here, where does that Yira come from? We're not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, obviously we're not going to, but even as a mindset, to understand, to be conscious of it, to feel it, to feel the idea a little bit, right? That comes through Torah. When you bring Torah, when you learn Torah, that's when you get into the world and being able even to contemplate this idea of Yira. Because when you learn Torah, as I said before, you become mamash one with Hashem, one with the Ratzon of Hashem, completely. He says, that's what it's written. In the Pasuk in the Torah says, Hashem commanded us all these mitzvahs, liyiras Hashem, to fear Hashem. That was just interesting, because we know that other places it says all the way around, that reishis chokhmah, yiras Hashem. Before you can start learning, you have to fear Hashem. Fear Hashem comes before Torah. But it says, depends which level of Yira it is, right? So he says, "Val Yira gedoyle zu amru min chochma yira." The one place it says, "Im ein Yira ein chochma." There's no fear. There's no wisdom. That's the fear, the basic level of fear. But on this fear, it says, "Val Yira zu amru im ein chochma yira." If there's no chochma, there's no Yira. If you don't learn Torah, you can never experience such Yira, which explains why Rabbi Shimon bar Chai was so one with Torah. That's why he reached that level. Same thing, because he became so one with Torah. That's why he became able to achieve Yira Elo. Therefore, that Torah nikras eslor dar tarol dar tokmesh of ruach makamacher, and therefore on this level of Yira, the high level of Yira Hashem, the Torah is an introduction to that Yira, not the other way around. Ella, only thing is lav kol moichos soved or Yira kazu. Obviously, not everyone could tolerate this level of Yira. Ach gam man lo soved moichos klal Yira zula, but nevertheless. Even a person that can't tolerate that level of Yira, obviously, if we would have that level of Yira, like Shri Vayachai, we wouldn't be able to, yeah? Because a neshama is a lower level neshama, we don't have the neshama like Shri Vayachai. If we wouldn't be able to actually feel or tolerate that level of Yira, nevertheless, as we'll explain, lady says, and Yira zuma akevas bala masim was bala kamal. Knowing about that Yira can still activate and still be relevant to motivating us to do the mitzvahs. Once we understand where we are, once we understand what we're connected to. We might not feel it, but it's relevant, as you can explain a little bit later. Now, what's the idea? It is like this, right? This is really going into the next two prokim, but let's just finish it. You start off by saying, in the beginning of this whole process, he said, like when it comes to Avodah Zorah, every Yira Mesiras Nefesh. Why? Because the very, very essence of our neshama, we are really one with Hashem, the Chochmah of the Nefesh, as he called it, where the place Mesiras Nefesh lives. Therefore, when a Yid is faced with a clear choice that remain connected with Hashem or disconnect from Hashem, he's going to give up his life. Right? Then he started saying, the truth is, the whole Torah is like that. And he said that all the mitzvahs asay, all the positive commandments, are included and incorporated in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what we say, we heard Anochi and Lo Yilecha from Hashem himself. Anochi represents all the mitzvahs asay, and Lo Yilecha represents all the mitzvahs lois asay. Right? What's the pshat? Now we can start to understand, because the whole world is a place of tzimtzum. And therefore the whole world, Hashem is concealed. And if you connect to the concealment, you're minimizing life. Where is Chaim? Where is true life? Like I said before, only with Hashem, right? Any level of klipa, any level lower than that, chitzon yisrotzen, or even less than that klipa, is a place of lack of life, right? When do you connect with Hashem Himself? When you connect to the rotzon elyon. When you connect to the rotzon elyon, Torah mitzvahs, and mitzvahs and Torah, especially Torah. So therefore, every mitzvah is about connecting to Hashem. Every mitzvah is like life. And not doing a mitzvah in a nuanced way is a little bit like a avodah zarah. You're disconnecting from that opportunity to one with Hashem. Right? So he's going to explain this more in the next two chapters, but we can already see where this is going. If you really believe that a yid in his essence cannot be disconnected from Hashem, and then we understand that really connection to Hashem is Torah and mitzvahs, everything outside of Torah mitzvahs is not the Pnimiya Saratzin. Therefore, it's not the same level of life, and not the same level of connection with Hashem Himself. So everything, when there's absence of mitzvah, there's absence of life. And therefore, all the mitzvahs are part of a mitzvah of a emunah, of a being connected with Hashem. We might not feel it, as we're saying, but it's relevant. If we understand it, then we motivate ourselves more to be connected to Torah mitzvahs. But that will probably be explained in the next part. What we're going to do is next week, we can do on Shiram Purim, just understand Purim up at Siddhis. And then we'll, after Purim, we'll do the next two chapters. And after Pesach and Ritzchim, we'll start the new section of Tanya 26, which is a whole other section, a very beautiful section. It's very geschmack. I mean, it's less complicated, but it's... All right.